Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And what is up? Welcome in. We are live from Market on Main Friday episode of GC Live. Hope everybody had an outstanding Thanksgiving. Happy Rivalry Week. We are one day away from South Carolina versus Clemson. It may be game day, depending on when you are listening to us, but we are live right now on YouTube, Facebook, and, of course, on the GamecockCentral.com homepage from Market on Main. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what they have going on, both for the Clemson-Carolina game, and we got a way, Chris, for people to win a chance to come to the Market on Main for their New Year's Eve party. You can watch the ball drop on the biggest screen in the entire Columbia area here at Market on Main. We're going to tell you about that here shortly. But first, we're going to go out to our special guest line. We're going to bring in Matt Connolly of ClemsonSports.com on the On3 Network. Matt going to tell us the Clemson perspective on this game. Matt, how are we doing today, man? Appreciate you joining us. You ready for this game on Saturday?
What's up, guys? Doing great. Appreciate y'all having me on. Think it'll be a good one Saturday, and looking forward to being there.
Yeah, Matt is coming at us live from a helicopter.
That's right. Like he's flying a plane.
He's going to be giving the bird's eye view of Clemson Stadium here momentarily. But
I'm not driving.
Let's get that out of the way. He's not driving or piloting the aircraft right now. I hear Matt's going to watch maybe some soccer here later on. Chris, I think, is going to be doing the same. So we're going to dive right into this thing, Matt. We always ask our guest. For our Gamecock fans listening or watching who have not watched Clemson at all this year, give us just a big picture perspective. What do people need to know about this Clemson Tiger football team?
Yeah, I think it all starts with defense with Clemson. That defensive line, that front seven, it's a group that didn't maybe get off to as good a start as people were kind of hoping for. You know, you look at that Wake Forest game, Sam Hartman had a field day, went up and down the field against them. I think there were some question marks about Wes Goodwin and kind of how good the defense was going to be. Was all of that going to translate under Brent Venables? But really they've been playing great recently. Some of that's obviously competition. You know, Miami on offense is not very good. They were starting a true freshman at quarterback in Ja'Cory Brown. Didn't have a ton of talent around him. But really since that Wake Forest game, it's a group that's gotten better and better. Done a much better job of affecting the team that year, Jay Uyunglele was having a ton of success, kind of throw all around. They were really exceeding expectations, I think, on offense and particularly at quarterback. Kind of the second half of the year, it's been inconsistent quarterback play, which has led to more of just relying on Will Shipley in that running game. Phil Moffitt is a guy that's come on strong, too, so it's kind of similar to how Clemson was playing last year when they played South Carolina, just a team with a really good defense and a okay, inconsistent passing game, but really a strong running game led by Will Shipley.
Matt, I noted that Will Shipley seemed to have some of his better statistical performances against teams that Clemson has played that have been like the better teams, right? So Florida State, Syracuse, I think that was two of his better statistical rushing performances this year. Also close games, probably because of the competition level. But has right. Will Shipley had any games in which Clemson has struggled to get the run game going, either with DJ, Will Shipley, Moffitt, and crew? Like, what have you seen opposing teams do to be able to limit Clemson's ground game?
Yeah, it's been mostly just load up the box. And you saw that even last weekend against Miami. I think he had like 61 yards, averaged less than 4 yards a carry. Teams have just said, hey, we're not going to let this guy beat us. You mentioned the good games he's had. A lot of that was it's a close game and they're just going to ride their workhorse. And so, you know, the closer the game, the more they're going to rely on him, the more it's kind of a dogfight, the more they're just going to try to get him the ball. Obviously, Notre Dame was another game where they didn't have a ton of success running the ball. And, you know, Notre Dame, I think defensively, felt like they matched up pretty well on the outside. And so, you know, they kind of left some guys on some islands one-on-one. I don't think Clemson really scares you at receiver, to be honest. I think Antonio Williams in the slot is probably their best guy outside of him. You know, Joseph Ngata, Bo Collins, you know, guys that have been really inconsistent this year. Sometimes they'll make a great one-handed catch, and you're thinking, man, now they're kind of going to break out. And then, you know, like Bo Collins with two games, even when he was healthy, when he didn't have a catch. So it's been inconsistent. But, yeah, I mean, teams have loaded up the box when they've been able to stop them. Like I mentioned, Notre Dame did that. Miami did that. And then, you know, like I said, I think you'll see in this game, too, I think they're going to rely on him a lot and just try to win the game on his shoulders.
Matt, what have you seen from Clemson's offensive line play this year? I think, you know, with Carolina, they have not been a great team at stopping the run themselves. And I think you got to imagine they're going to put all their resources into trying to stop Shipley. And, you know, their issues at times have been not only are they getting blocked, but then they have struggled with missed tackles. You look at the Tennessee game for South Carolina, though, there were times where they were getting blocked, but there weren't a lot of missed tackles. There weren't a lot of situations where a 4 or 5 yard gain becomes a long gain. And that was an issue for them against Florida, an issue for them even, you know, honestly, against Vanderbilt and Missouri. So I think it'd be a key this week too, obviously. But what have you seen from Clemson's O-line? You know, is their running game more like Shipley and those guys making something happen? Or is it that he's giving, you know, getting a lot of room to operate? And then if Carolina can slow down the running game, sticking with that O-line, how have they also been in pass protection? A Carolina defensive front, they don't have great sack numbers, but they do have pretty good pressure numbers when they can get teams into those third and long situations.
Yeah, it's been a group that's been pretty inconsistent, to be honest. I mean, it's been probably better than I thought it would be, you know, especially run blocking. I think that they've done a nice job of opening up some lanes. They have allowed some sacks, but a lot of that's been DJ is just a big, strong guy and thinks he can make a play. And so, you know, he holds onto the ball at times too long. So that's something that they've been really frustrated at times with. It's just he kind of – the play's not there, and rather than throw the ball away or even, you know, punt if you have to, he's a guy that always wants to try to make that play. And so he's going to hang in the pocket and think he can kind of shed guys. And at times he's able to do that because he's a big, strong, 240-pound quarterback. But there are also times where he – kind of holds onto the ball too long as it takes a sack. So that has been most of their sacks. But yeah, like I said, I mean, I think probably decisions overall been inconsistent at times. You know, they lost Marcus Tate, their starting left guard, who's going to be out for the season. He suffered a knee injury last week. And so you've got Mitchell Mays filling in there, who has played the last 2 weeks. He's played most of the past two games. A couple games ago, Walker Parks was out. And so he played right guard. And then this past week, Marcus Tate got hurt early on in that game, and Mitchell Mays came in at left guard. So, you know, he allowed some penetration. Miami, honestly, at times did a pretty nice job against Clemson of both stopping the run and getting after DJ and kind of getting some pressure on him. So, you know, I think if you're South Carolina, you kind of look at that Miami film and think, you know, maybe you get a little bit of confidence from that just watching how they struggled at times. But DJ, man, like I said, he is a guy that's really hard to bring down. And, you know, if you get back there and get some pressure on him, you're not going to be able to shove him down with one hand or kind of one arm grab and be able to pull him down. You're going to have to make sure you finish sacks if you're South Carolina and want to finish off those plays.
Matt, you mentioned Marcus Tate and his injury, and so that will be a, you know, shift there for the Tigers on the offensive line. But give us, before we get to the next stuff, a quick rundown of the injury situation for Clemson. Brian Breesy will be back, right, for this game. But, yep. But give us like a general overview. Who's coming back that they've been missing? And will anybody else aside from Tate be out for this game?
Yeah, Breesy and Bo Collins coming back are the two big ones. I know I mentioned Bo Collins kind of being inconsistent, but he is one of their starting receivers who had a really good freshman season. I think people thought he might be the go-to guy this year, and it's been kind of inconsistent, and part of that has been injuries. But those two will be back. You know, Brazil, it's been interesting. He's been kind of up and down, and obviously he's had so much going on the field and away from the field with injury situations and his sister. So, you know, I think that you know, him coming back will help Clemson for sure, but I don't know that he's necessarily been the dominant player this year that Clemson was kind of hoping he would be. And like I said, obviously for good reason. I don't know that he's still in great shape yet as he tries to get used back to playing 30, 40 snaps. He missed some weeks without practice too. So, like I said, I know Clemson will be happy to have him back, but not sure how effective he will be. The only other guy I think you might see be out is Adam Randall, the receiver, the freshman receiver, who started off the year unable to play as he recovered from a torn ACL. He did make it back and played in several games and actually had a big catch last week, but he broke his hand in the process. They thought it was a situation where he'd be able to play through that and they could kind of tape it up and put a bandage on it. But I'm not sure if he's going to be able to go or not. And if so, I'm not sure how effective he'll be. Just it'll be hard having a guy try to play receiver, obviously, with a broken hand. So that would be the only other guy I think you may see be out.
Matt, you already talked about him a little bit, just the receiving core in general, but let's talk about it. Elephant in the room, second straight former Dutch Fort wide receiver that South Carolina will be facing this week. Also a slot guy, also now arguably his team's best receiver. The one difference being here that this is not a situation where South Carolina didn't recruit him. South Carolina obviously wanted Antonio Williams. They made him a priority. They're a longtime leader there. Clemson comes in late, still sent from South Carolina. Probably a lot of Gamecock fans who have been frustrated watching him excel for Clemson this year, to be honest. I got to imagine, y'all, Cam Smith is going to draw that coverage responsibility again in the nickel spot. So what more can you tell us about what Antonio and these receivers have done? I know, like I said, you already talked about it a little bit. And does Antonio, much like Jalin Hyatt at Tennessee, line up almost exclusively in the slot, or does he move around some, Matt?
Yeah, Antonio is going to only play the slot. That's the only place they've used him all year. And I don't even think it's arguably that he's best, Clemson's best receiver. I mean, he's been the top receiver, honestly, throughout the season. He leads them in yards. He leads them in catches. He's the guy that they go to on third down. He's been very, very good in the slot at finding ways to just get open. You know, they have a lot of option routes where it's third down and he's one-on-one with the DB and you know, make your move either to the outside or inside, and that's the first read. So he's a very good player. I know South Carolina fans are probably frustrated watching him, but he's a very good player. He's had a great year. Outside of him, and God is kind of the big play threat. He's a guy that you maybe throw some jump balls up to, and they were connecting on some of those early in the year. Haven't as much lately. Same with Bo Collins. He's a guy they move around some and maybe more of a deep threat, but he hadn't got the ball a ton this year either. But it all starts with Antonio. And, you know, they, like I said, they play him in the slot, but they do throw it to him deep sometimes. They get him on some deep crossers, even some corner routes, try to find him a way to get the ball down the field too. So, yeah, he's the punt returner. They give it to him on jet sweeps. They look for him on third down. I mean, he's really been their top guy and their go-to guy. And I agree with you. I think they'll try to – if I'm South Carolina, I'll put Cam Smith on him and kind of do the same thing they did with Jalin Hyatt, just try to take him out of the game and make him as ineffective as possible if you're South Carolina.
Matt, to go back to the defensive side of the ball, you know, my feeling, and I want to tell you – I want you to tell me if I'm right or wrong in my thinking here. It seems like the Tigers have had some vulnerabilities on the back end in the secondary. They've surrendered some big explosive plays in the passing game. But they're really, really good up front. Their front four, really their front seven, with Trent Simpson, Trotter, their guys that they run in and out there on the defensive line. But is that true, number one? And number two, you know, what are the vulnerabilities of this defense when they have had some struggles and given up some points and some plays? What has it been? Has it been primarily through the air with explosive passing plays?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And especially early in the year, I think it was more when they were struggling defensively in the back seven. You look at that Wake Forest game. I mean, Sam Hartman threw for, I think, 400 yards and five touchdowns or something like that. It was insane. He just, you know, it seemed like every time he dropped back, he had a guy running open. And they made some contested catches too. But Clemson really struggled defensively in that game. They made some personnel changes since then. Nate Wiggins is now their full-time number one starting corner, and he struggled in that game some, but he was also coming in and out. And then Sheridan Jones, who is their senior cornerback, he's not going to be a great NFL player. He's not going to measure great at the combine or anything like that, but he's just a solid veteran quarterback who I think getting him back has been good too. So, you know, they've been a lot better since that game. Now, at the same time, they haven't been tested with great receivers. You know, I know playing NC State, they had a good quarterback, but their receivers were nothing special. You know, Florida State moved the ball on Clemson a good bit. Notre Dame had some success passing, but that, you know, they don't have a great offense. And certainly Drew Pine is a pretty average quarterback. You had Louisville without Malik Cunningham for a lot of that game. And then Miami, like I said, didn't have a quarterback who could really throw it around much either. So Clemson's stats have certainly been better the second half of the year, but they also haven't played guys that really scare you at quarterback or receiver. I will say, you know, in the run game, Florida State had a lot of success rushing the ball, and Notre Dame did too. And that was just kind of running different ways. Florida State did a lot of zone read type stuff, so you may see some Dakarian Joyner there if you're South Carolina. And then Notre Dame really just lined up and ran it right at them, and Clemson couldn't stop it. Both of those teams had over 200 yards. So teams have had success running the ball at times on Clemson, but certainly it's been more through the air when they've allowed passing plays.
Matt, let's talk a little bit about game flow and how this thing could actually play out. It's been a long time since this matchup has even been competitive. I mean, we were looking back. You got to go back to 2015, which was a Perry Orth, Lorenzo Nunez-led South Carolina offense here in Columbia before it, you know, you can find a game where it was tight. It's been relatively just controlled. I don't even say relatively. It has been controlled by Clemson every game since. What's your feel on how this thing could actually play out? And, you know, just in terms of some keys for both sides to Clemson, obviously will want to kind of create an early lead, I think, and just run the ball much like they did last year, whereas South Carolina is going to hope this thing can actually be in the balance as the game progresses, which is something they haven't been able to do at all in this matchup the last few years.
Yeah, I think you'll see a pretty competitive game. I don't think you're going to see – you know, it's crazy. Not only has Clemson won seven in a row, I think the last five have been by 21 points or more. So I don't think you'll see that again. I think this will be a 7-to-10-point game. I do think Clemson finds a way to win. I just trust their defense and offense as being a little more consistent. But, you know, I do think it'll be a fun game, kind of solid back and forth. I don't know. I started to say back and forth. I don't know that it'll be back and forth. I think Clemson will probably lead for most of the game, but I do think that it'll be a game that's at least in the balance and you're kind of anxious to see what happens in the second half. You know, as far as keys to the game, I think for South Carolina, it's got to be stopping the run, number one, not allowing, you know, those passing plays. Not allowing Will Shipley to get going, kind of limiting Phil Moff. I think that's the start if you're South Carolina, is just slowing down the run. For Clemson, I think it's trying to not let that South Carolina offense get confidence and get into Spencer Rattler. He was very, very comfortable, was the word Dabo used. He said it was one of the best quarterback performances he's seen. He doesn't know that he's seen an offense hotter than South Carolina's was last week. But he also said that Spencer Rattler was just very comfortable, had a ton of time in the pocket, could kind of do whatever he wanted back there, could kind of sit back and relax. Clemson's not going to let him do that. You know, they'll blitz six or seven people every play if they have to, to not allow him to have that kind of time and to sit back there in the pocket and just kind of relax. So I think for Clemson, just getting pressure on Rattler, making him uncomfortable early, and then winning one-on-one matchups, you know, outside, not letting Josh Van and Juice Wells and those guys get loose.
Matt, last one I got for you, man. We've talked about offense, we've talked about defense. Let's hit on special teams a little bit. You know, a game that it seems like we all expect this to be competitive and maybe even tight into the second half or maybe even into the fourth quarter. So special teams could play in. South Carolina's kickers, specialists have been reliable. BT Potter, who I think Tommy West recruited, he's been there forever and is a really, really good and reliable kicker. But I know Gamecock fans watched the Notre Dame-Clemson game and watched – Clemson give up a block punt for a touchdown. But tell us about the Tigers' special teams. How do they match up against South Carolina? Are there any vulnerabilities there that could play into this game?
Yeah, first of all, BT, though, I think he's missed three kicks this year. They were all over 40 yards, and one was over 50. So he's certainly reliable, hitting, I think, close to 85, 90% of his field goal. So, yeah, Clemson feels good if it comes down to a field goal game. You know, you mentioned the Notre Dame game. That was just such a weird kind of play. You know, I think Notre Dame saw something on film where they could exploit. I think since then Clemson's been much better as far as punt protection and not allowing any of that kind of penetration. They also changed some personnel there where they moved Ruka Roro and replaced him. So I think that they've been much better there. I don't know that I really see any big weaknesses on Clemson that Notre Dame didn't exploit and that have been fixed now. You know, they've been good at punt coverage. They've been good at kickoff coverage. Antonio Williams, as I mentioned, in punt return is a pretty dynamic player. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I think it's two very good special teams units. It very well could come down to a play on special teams, but I don't know that I would necessarily say one or the other has a huge edge. I think it's two really good special teams units.
Matt, good stuff as always, man. I got maybe two more questions, more like one and a half. I know we've talked about receivers, but I know you and I were talking on the phone earlier this week, and you mentioned Clemson's tight end. So how much of a factor have they been? And if Carolina is able to have some success, maybe shutting down the outside receivers for Clemson, how much have they relied on throwing the ball to their tight ends, either, you know, those safe routes underneath or, you know, potentially like those seam passes that can create big plays?
Yeah, I think that's a huge factor in the game, and I think Clemson's going to look to those guys early and often. You know, you mentioned them having success. I mean, Davis Allen is the second leading receiver on the team, the Clemson tight end with 32 catches. He's also second in yards with – or maybe third in yards with 374. He's got four touchdowns. I mean, he's a guy that they look to. You know, if Antonio Williams is option one, Davis Allen's option two on third down. He's just – seems to always find a way to be open. They kind of find him over the middle. They hit him on, you know, short and under now three underneath routes off of the zone read play action stuff. So definitely him and Jake Brenningstuhl, who isn't necessarily as good of a blocker, but is a very good pass catching tight end. You know, I think Clemson's game plan is try to establish the run, get Will Shipley going, and then hit those tight ends over the middle as linebackers start to cheat up and even safety start to cheat up some. So, definitely South Carolina needs to know where those guys are for sure.
Matt, you already said you got Clemson winning. Do you have a score? Any more details you want to give on how you see this thing playing out?
Yeah, I'll go Clemson 27-20. I just think it'll be a pretty fun, close game, competitive game. I'm excited to see it. I will say with one more point on the Clemson offense is just DJ Uwe.
Hey, Matt, we lost you for a second there, man. Let's see if we can get him back. I want to see what this thought was. We're going to get him.
It's going to be a good thought.
It's going to be a good one. Matt is straight frozen right now. I tell you, man, when we do these shows, and we're on the road and other people are on the road, the last two have been an adventure.
Yeah.
I will say this. Our connection for our Tennessee guest last week struggled about as much as Tennessee's football team did last week. So maybe a sign
just
here.
Just a slight struggle.
Yeah.
For Matt and for Clemson.
Yes. We'll see if we can get Matt back. I want to get that final thought. Let's try one more time. Matt.
Sorry about it.
No, you're good, man. did you morph into – did you change clothes during the – you look completely different. You have a hat on now.
I'm on the phone now instead of laptop, so we had to switch things up.
Yeah, so you were finishing up anyway. You were about to say DJ's name, and then you completely froze. You said you had one more thought on the Clemson offense, and then we'll let you get out of there after that, man. But what were you about to tell us?
Yeah, just DJ running the ball, I think, is something to watch out for. He had almost 90 yards rushing last week, had a career high. He's not necessarily the fastest, but he's really tough to bring down. I know we talked about that some, but just, you know, those 7, 8, 10-yard gains where he's faking the handoff and keeping or designed runs, or if you bring a blitz from one side, he's kind of sneaking out the other side. So,
he's tough to bring down. He's a guy that a lot of times, you know, you maybe hit him at 3 or 4 yards and he picks up 8 or 9 and now it's 2nd and 1. So just definitely him running the ball, I think, is something to watch out for, particularly in the red zone and in short yarders. They like to use him a lot.
Matt, good stuff, man. Hey, we appreciate you making the time. Enjoy the game tomorrow. If any Gamecock fans out there want to read up on Clemson a little bit more, maybe want to dive into South Carolina's opponent, they can go check that out, clemsonsports.com. That is the Clemson On Three site. Matt and the guys over there do a fantastic job. Matt, enjoy the game tomorrow, man. We appreciate it, okay?
Appreciate it. Go USA. See you
all. Right, there you go. Matt Connolly about to go watch some soccer. Appreciate him joining us. Again, we are live from the Market on Main Street, Columbia, South Carolina. And Chris, as promised, I have got to tell folks a little bit about how they can win access to Market on Main's, I was about to say preseason, pregame, it's a pre-New Year's Eve. It is a New Year's Eve party. It's a pre-New Year's party. There you go. I don't know, guys.
You got it.
It's been a long week. All right, here we go. They have an awesome 3-course meal. They have an open bar with house alcohol plus high-end alcohol available for purchase. Live music. You can watch the ball drop on the biggest screen in the world, I think. Asterisk, not really, but it is really big. Champagne toast and sparkler ring in the new year. So that's going to be at Market on Main. You can buy your tickets to that at marketonmain.com. They have an Eventbrite as well. Or go to the Gamecock Central Instagram, and we actually have one of those posts that is collaborated between both of them, between Market on Main, which is at Market on Main Cola SC, and Gamecock Central. Go check that out. We got a giveaway. All the info is on there. I'm not going to read this out. Just go check it out on IG, and really, really cool place to spend New Year's Eve. Some great food. We're going to have some food here in a second. And obviously, a great place to come watch the game on this big old screen. You can go to marketonmain.com for more information as we close in on rivalry weekend for South Carolina and for everybody else. Chris, I cannot believe the season. The regular season is almost over. Like, it just got here. It has flown by. But Gamecocks, Tigers, noon kickoff, ABC on Saturday. What did we learn from Matt that we did not know before?
I think he gave some more details, like confirmed some of our suspicions or maybe things that we thought. You know, this Clemson offense has not been super dynamic. The defense, I thought it was interesting, Wes. Matt seemed almost not quite as bullish on Clemson's defense. I mean, certainly recognizes their talent level. They changed some personnel after the weight game. Tweak some things on the back end. They've been better there than certainly they were in that game where they gave up tons of yards, big plays through the air. And certainly you like their front, right? Their linebackers, their defensive line, with their depth, their talent, Murphy, Brian Brzee, all those guys. But I thought it was interesting that he pointed out that some of the better offenses that they have played have given them some problems. Notre Dame's been able to run the football. We saw Syracuse was able to, at least in the first half, move the football and score some points. And Florida State, one that he pointed out. Interesting comp there with maybe Florida State and South Carolina. Florida State, I went and looked through their point totals and their schedule this year. They've been pretty consistently good on offense. South Carolina has not been consistent. But the best version of this South Carolina offense that we've seen, Wes, that may give you some pause if you're a Clemson fan. That may scare you. That, of course, was way above and beyond anything we've seen, but it does show you that it's possible. And then you put it against some of the other offensive performances, some of the better offensive performances that South Carolina has put up this season against Power 5 or SEC competition, and it does get you thinking, if they're clicking, could they have a little bit more success than maybe we think against this Clemson defense?
Well, I think, man, you look at this series as of late, and – Clemson has owned the lines of scrimmage, particularly Clemson's defensive line. Like, they've given South Carolina no chance to operate on offense. So I think you have to find some ways. Now, I believe South Carolina's offensive line should come in with confidence from last week. I think this is a Clemson defensive front as talented as they are, they are very talented. They've not been as dominant as they were if you go back, especially some of those Muschamp years, man, where they were just absolutely dominant against South Carolina's front. So maybe there's an opportunity there. Maybe, you know, Matt, again, to your point, seemed to indicate when they have sort of been playing better offenses, they have not been – they've kind of come back down to earth a little bit. Like, they are still a very good defense, but they are not this just complete elite lockdown defense that has very few holes. So I honestly feel a little bit more positively about South Carolina's chances after listening to Matt talk. Now, I'll say this. As the game went on against Tennessee, Tennessee got less and less aggressive defensively, it feels like. Clemson's MO, especially under Brent Venables, I imagine this is something that still remains true. Their MO is to get more and more aggressive if, for one, if they smell blood in the water, but two, if they're struggling. I feel like, you know, Matt said it, they're going to start to tack on rushers, tack on blitzers if they're not getting there. So if you're South Carolina, you have to have a plan for that. That can allow for some big plays, but you have to have a plan for that. I sort of, as he was talking, kept thinking, man, if they can give Rattler any time to operate, this could be a big day for Juice Wells again. Like, I think you actually, you probably don't like South Carolina's receivers in that matchup recently. This year, the way Wells has played as of late, and what you kind of how Clemson's dropped back a little bit at defensive back, just pure talent wise, pure athleticism wise, you maybe like Carolina's chances there. So maybe an opportunity if you can, if you're Carolina, you're going to have to combat those blitzes with the right type of quick passes. You're going to have to get open quick, right? Like, you're going to have to give Rattler those windows to throw. However, I don't know, guys. I feel a little bit better about it, certainly, than I did the last 5 years, I would say. And I'll say this. I'm not always right. Like, I'm wrong plenty. But I was not buying into the hype last year of this is, you know, this is the year South Carolina is going to take a big step forward against Clemson. You know, I think a lot of people kind of talked themselves into that last year. This year, it just feels like Carolina is going to be much more equipped to handle what Clemson can throw at them. And I'll give y'all a key that goes fairly deep, but still I think is a massive key to this game. And that is I'm leaning on my guy Parker here from Stats O War. Great follow on Twitter. His algorithm or whatever he uses to project scores is phenomenal. He had South Carolina beating Auburn 2 years ago, the final Muschamp year, and everything else had Carolina losing that game. And he was the only algorithm I saw, his algorithm was the only one I saw that had the South Carolina-Tennessee game even being close. Like, it was, you know, the percentages on that game, ESPN were like, FPI was like 90%, I think, going in. Now, he had Tennessee winning the game, but it was like tight, as opposed tighter than most places.
70, 60, you now, remember?
I don't remember the percentage, but he has score projections as well. And I think it was like an 8-point game or something, as opposed. Wow. Yeah. So
crazy.
His projected score to this one is Clemson 28.8, South Carolina 20.3. He has Clemson's 73% chance of winning the game, but still much closer than the line.
Yeah.
The line is 14.5. So, but I thought this was interesting. He has some really cool breakdowns that go well beyond the usual, and it caught my attention. Clemson's defense still statistically really pretty good, except for one glaring issue. So Clemson's defense is phenomenal on third downs. Ninth in the country on third or fourth down success rate. Mm-hmm. However, their one glaring issue is percentages of first downs giving up on first or second down. So that's the opponents don't even get to third down. They're getting a chunk play on first or second down, and going ahead and converting the downs there. Well, what did we see from South Carolina against Tennessee? Obviously, they had a lot of success on third downs and fourth downs, but I thought they were as good as we've seen them all year at being aggressive on first down, throwing the ball on first down, getting some chunk plays. First downs were huge for them. And so I think if you look at South Carolina's offense, they actually have been pretty good this year as well. They're more middle of the pack on third down, but they've been pretty good themselves on percentages of first downs on first or second down. So third downs are what people talk about, but third downs are directly impacted by how you do on your first down. So I think this is a game, if I'm South Carolina, you got to roll out the, what did Juice Wells call it? The effort offense. Like,
yeah,
pretty much. You had that offense and the drop your, you know what's defense. And I think that's the key to South Carolina on both. You want to get past the X's and O's and the scheme and all that, but aggressiveness. Clemson's going to be aggressive on defense, but if Carolina can be aggressive on offense and get some of those chunk plays on first downs, the game's going to play out much differently, I think, than we've seen it the last couple of years, where it's been dominant Clemson defense, and really that's just allowed Clemson's offense to run the football with no pressure on them to have to move the ball.
Didn't Marcus Satterfield talk earlier this season? You remember when there was a lot of first down discussion or early down discussion versus third down? Wasn't his stat that they were good on first down? Or I think at one point in the season they were really good on third down and terrible in the early ones.
Yeah,
we
that
saw
sounds right.
Wes against
all right, we got some food. Go. I'm going to interrupt you. Thank you, Missy.
I've got pulled pork sandwich for you. Do you need anything else?
I think we are good.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That looks phenomenal, by the way.
Wow. Yeah, we're rolling. Let me tell everybody what I'm rolling with. Please. And I'm going to give you the field here again. We are going pulled pork again. Mm-hmm. Chris, I went salad just because yesterday
salad yesterday.
There was no salad. There's a lot of carbs yesterday. Yeah. Lots of protein as well. But I did go, man, I'm a sucker for pulled pork sandwich. So pulled pork sandwich, got some sesame seed bun here. I had the pulled pork quesadilla last 2 weeks ago, I guess. It was phenomenal, so I stuck with that as well. And I'm not a big salad eater at all. I normally strongly dislike salad. They got a great vinaigrette dressing here. So we went salad, pulled pork sandwich. I'm sure it's going to be phenomenal.
It looks amazing. I mean,
I may just let you finish the show and then.
I mean, you just sit here and eat the rest of the time?
Yeah.
No, but, there have been, they've gone through spurts, South Carolina has, where they're good on early downs, or they're not very good, and then it's up to third down, and sometimes they've been pretty good on third down. They've had games where they've been very bad on third down, and not surprisingly, some of their metrics in those games reflect that. But what we do know, early down success against Tennessee was good. Everything was successful, but they were really good on third down. They had some key third and fourth down conversions. Those are going to be more difficult on Saturday. So one of my keys to the game is exactly what you're talking about, and that is early down success. This isn't a Clemson team you want to be living and dying by third and nine or third and ten. You do that, the numbers tell you it's probably statistically not going to go in your favor more often than not, just because they're able to heat you up so much. Conversely, I mean, one of the keys, one of the biggest reasons that we saw so much success for South Carolina last game against Tennessee was Spencer Rattler had a clean pocket all game, and he also made perfect decisions almost every time I saw with whether to hang in the pocket, step up in the pocket, or bail the pocket when there was some pressure. There were some times he got rid of the ball at the last split second, was able to make a completion. His receivers had a great game too. So early down success against Clemson, and it doesn't really matter whether it's running the football, passing the football, they just have to find something early to keep moving the chains and being able to score.
Definitely, man. By the way, I was trying to confirm there. Yes, our contest is live. So go to either Market on Main, which is at Market on Main SC Instagram, or just go to Gamecock Central. It's on both of them, how you can get some tickets to come enjoy New Year's here at Market on Main. Chris, we're going to give some predictions here in a moment. So before we do that, by the way, I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Hope it was awesome. Hope y'all have some awesome plans for the weekend as well. I'm going to tell you about our friends at Liberty Tax right here in Columbia, 803-462-5576. Tax season is right around the corner. They've got offices here in Irmo, in Lexington, and in Columbia. And also, if you're not comfortable doing the online thing, you don't want to deal with like a big somebody over the phone or something like that, a national company, do your taxes local, 803-462-5576. They've got a great team here. And if you've had issues with the IRS, or if you're a business owner and want to put the burden of doing all that payroll stuff and keeping your books, all that stuff, Liberty Tax can help you with that as well. 803-462-5576. As always, this show is brought to you by our buddy Clint Hammond as well, 803-771-6933, clinthammond.com. If you're interested in buying a house, maybe you want to buy a house, but you've just been a little bit nervous about everything going on with the markets and interest rates and all that stuff, Clint can help walk you through that. Clint's been doing this for like 50 years, I think, since before he was born.
That's impressive.
Yes. So clinthammond.com. What I'm trying to say is Clint is an expert. Clint is the man. Give him a shout. 803-771-6933. Chris, what was your not score, not game final prediction?
Okay.
What was your other prediction on the game?
I completely stole yours in a way from last week.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
I'm sorry. So shout out, though, seriously to you. You predicted an increased role for DeCarrion Joyner against Tennessee based on they had very little success against Florida, obviously. None in terms of points, but DeCarrion Joyner was involved and looked good. And based on that, you predicted against Tennessee he would have an increased role. You were right. He played 19 snaps total, 11 were at quarterback, Wes, and he had some big, tough runs, administered the offense well in terms of it certainly had some option looks to some of the plays, threw the pass to Spencer Rattler on the gadget play. So you predicted that, and you were right. And I think he was an integral part of that success, being able to roll out that package. I predicted, Wes, that we see again more to carry.
Did you just copy and paste mine from last week?
I didn't copy and paste. I kind of repurposed a little bit, used some of my own words, my own vocabulary. But yeah, I think an increased stroke. That's not really like some big bold prediction or overarching. I tried to loop some of those into some of our other material. My insider report, the keys to the game. Tried to throw some more in there, but just a small prediction. We see more DeCarrion Joyner like we did back on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think if he's going to be successful against these guys, you got to keep expanding that package a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Clark Brooks, when we had him on earlier this week, he charts all this stuff out better than anybody else on the planet, basically. And, you know, he basically said, look, this is kind of – they basically run three concepts out of that package. And so I think you're going to have to continue to expand that. Like, if you're going to continue to expand his role, it also is going to have to be expanding some of the plays you ask him to run. And I would like to see, honestly, a few more throws. Like, the throw to Spencer was when he was lined up at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. We saw the throw when he was lined up at quarterback at Vandy, then they shifted him,
yep,
snapped the ball to CBS, handed it to him. He did three circles, and then, you know, I mean it had all types of eye candy attached to it. But I'd like to see a few more things. Maybe Stephon Gilmore circa 2009.
Throw it up to Alshon Jeffrey?
Yes, okay. Yes.
That would be a good play.
Stephon to Alshon. you know, I'd like to see some of those things, and just I think you're going to have to do that because Clemson – one thing I've always noticed about their defense when they play Carolina, their linebackers just get downhill. Like, they are a very downhill defense. They attack, attack, attack. I think you got to find some ways to attack over top of them and keep them from getting so downhill. So I'd be tempted one of the first few times to carry on's in there, throw the football over their heads potentially. And I thought we saw to carry on play more at receiver as well than we have in recent weeks,
yeah,
and or throughout the rest of the year, I should say. And this could be a game, if they're bringing pressure, then your tight ends over the middle, your slot guys over the middle, which, you know, Amarion Brown, DeCarrion Joyner, whoever's in there in the slot, going to be an important game for them. Pearson Fowler brought it up earlier. Important game, I think, for Nate Atkins to continue to successfully do the things he's been doing. And, Chris, we haven't talked about Marshawn Lloyd, the possibility of him getting back into the mix. Still don't have, you know, and we're honestly, guys, we're careful about injuries. Like, that's, we're careful what we say or report about injuries. But I think there, it's at least safe to say there's a much greater chance of him making an impact in this game than there was going into the last couple of games, where by now it was sort of becoming apparent behind the scenes that he was not going to be able to play. So we'll see if he plays. We'll see if he's able to make an impact. I tend to think it's going to be kind of a game time, how does he feel on Saturday type thing. But my gut feeling is he probably does give it a go this time. And, you know, I think Carolina's going to, if I'm them, I'm still doing a lot of the same things I did against Tennessee, while also now having that additional threat potential in the backfield and Marshawn Lloyd. And I think getting him the ball, Chris, in the passing game, if you can catch him in a blitz at the right time with the right screen call on, we have seen Marshawn, before he got hurt, have a ton of success. I know he wants to get a little bit more efficient as far as catching the football, but we've seen him on some short passes when it's been called at the right time create some big plays. That may be something to keep an eye on tomorrow as well.
Yeah, even if you can get him some touches in the game, and if he looks decently healthy on him, this is a guy that he's broken tackles at a clip much greater than other Carolina running backs. And so, yeah, he may be more limited in that regard, but still his open field ability, like you said, his ability to catch the football, he can still make teams pay in a hurry. He can turn a negative gain into a 4 or 5 yard gain or a 10 yard gain. And he can obviously turn a short pass into a lengthier gain as well. So you kind of look at what you can get from Marshawn Lloyd as a bonus in this game. I agree with you. You're not going to be able to reinvent the offense. They didn't for the Tennessee game. They simplified things. They changed some things. They added some wrinkles. But they were just very efficient and everything clicked. You're going to have to do what you're good at doing in this game, but you're just going to have to execute it again. And you are going to have to be able to respond to some adversity and some wrinkles, because Clemson is going to make it difficult, I think, up front especially. That's going to be the biggest difference from week to week, is that this is going to be a greater challenge for South Carolina's offensive front, those backs, the tight ends, the offensive line.
And they, I think they just called it a little bit more aggressively in terms of just keeping the foot on the gas, throwing the ball on first downs. You know, the third and long kind of late in the game, man, third and 20. They drop back and throw that deep dig, that dagger route. A lot of times we've seen them kind of take the, you know, let's throw a screen here. Let's throw a wide receiver screen, you know, maybe run the draw and punt. They said, no, we're trying to score until this game is over. You know, like there was no let up. And I think you're going to have to at times have that aggressive mindset in this game as well. And we'll see. It's going to be different defense, different approach. But I think in terms of getting Spencer Rattler going, we talked about this, and I'm trying to remember what we've talked about on the other show and what we talked about here. But Chris, Rattler, ultimately, if you're going to circle one guy on either team who can more effectively flip this game, Clemson is still a 14.5-point favorite in this game. I think that's a little high, personally, but Vegas knows these things. So who are we to say they're wrong? If there's one guy who can flip this, it is Spencer Rattler playing with the confidence and delivering the football by stepping up in the pocket and with the accuracy that we saw him play last week. If that happens, that has been one of the biggest differences in this rivalry, is that Clemson has had quarterback play. South Carolina has not had great quarterback play. And I think he's the guy who could flip this entire game tomorrow.
Yeah, Clemson, if it's an on Spencer Rattler, they've not seen that this year. What would be the closest? I mean, Matt was talking about Drew Pryne from Notre Dame. They didn't get to see Malik Cunningham from Louisville the entire game. Jordan Travis from Florida State's a really good quarterback. Maybe that's the closest. The Wake offense gave him problems with Sam Hartman. Devin Leary was still playing for NC State, right, at that time. So they played some good quarterbacks. So
I felt like Wake got away from the passing game late in that game.
So I still think, even with those guys, the own Spencer Rattler, the clicking Spencer Rattler, like, that's something they haven't seen, right? And so now, will they get that version? I don't know. We don't know that yet. Won't be see the version that we saw last week for sure. We'll see a scale back version of that, maybe at best. But I agree with you. Not only his ability to throw the ball, but I go back to the pocket decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Because even sometimes this year where he's had the protection, he hasn't always made the right pocket decisions. He made perfect ones last week. And so there will be more pressure this week.
Yeah.
So it's going to be up to him to deliver in those situations.
Yeah, and those decisions get sped up sometimes mm-hmm. when you're facing a team that's able to get pressure. And I thought that was a big key last week. It can kind of snowball on you positively or negatively. Because they had such good protection, he wasn't feeling pressure when it wasn't there.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think there are times this year where, frankly, because there was so much early pressure, then he was anticipating it when it didn't end up coming. So I think that'll be something to keep an eye on moving forward. But we're going to know, y'all. I hate to go back to it's a trope at this point. Like they talk about TV and movie tropes. It's a trope at this point. But the early part of the game, the starting fast, it's a thing. Like
it is a thing.
It is a thing. We're going to know in the first 10 minutes, I think. If it's close when 10 minutes are up, I think it's going to be a close football game. If Clemson's up 14-0, then
it's not.
Yeah. It's going to be a struggle. All right, final prediction. Chris, you've hinted. If they were listening to 107.5 earlier, they already know. If they've read Gamecock Central, they already know.
That's right.
What's your pick?
I have South Carolina doing just enough to pull this one out west this year. 28-24, Gamecocks in Death Valley, in a nooner. Close game, obviously, when you look. I think it's going to be close throughout. It's going to come down to a fourth-quarter contest. I have South Carolina making a big defensive play or two and then doing just enough offensively, especially through the air. That's where they're going to have to bread their butter in this game. They make enough plays through the air, some big third-down conversions. And Spencer Rattler with another quality game to spring an upset.
I also have South Carolina winning. I picked the weirdest score I could think of, 29-28. I got a feeling, y'all. It kind of, I don't know if there are any actual parallels to this, but it feels a little bit like Spurrier's first win over Clemson. When South Carolina went up there, day game, Carolina's offense under Spurrier had been kind of shaky. They had reinserted Blake Mitchell into the lineup. And going into that game, the offense, like, was showing a lot of signs of life.
Yeah.
And they went up there. They went up and down the field on Clemson. They had some things go against them. I think didn't Clemson pick up a fumble and return it for a touch?
Yes.
Yeah. And South Carolina literally, it felt like they could have scored 60 points in that game, but they shot themselves in the foot a few times, I think, but they were just going up and down the field. Clemson misses a field goal late. Carolina wins. And that Spurrier offense was rolling down the stretch. It feels like Carolina, two of the last three games, maybe has found something. We'll see if they can continue that. 29-28. I think there's going to be another big special teams play in this game. And if Carolina can sense that they're in this, the confidence continues to rise on the Carolina sideline.
One more thing, Wes. 2008, Shane Beamer mentioned this the other day. He was an assistant during that game for South Carolina. They go up to Death Valley for another noon game. Rainy, miserable game that turned out even more rainy and miserable. South Carolina loses the game to interim coach Dabo Swinney. Ends up springboarding him to the job and then a new era of Clemson football. This will be the 15th game. 2008 was game number one. This is game number 15, another noon game in Death Valley. Landmark kind of number.
Yeah.
Where does it end up landing? Can Shane Beamer use this game to springboard his own program into year three?
Yeah. And let me make sure I'm accurate. 2006 is the game I was talking about.
Yes, the Jadeen miss.
That was the Jadeen miss. And South Carolina had lost a close game in Columbia the year before.
On a field goal.
On a field goal. Yep. Just a defensive slugfest in that one. Carolina goes back, 2006, Blake Mitchell, that offense, moved the ball at will. That was a Spurrier clinic game. But yeah, 2006, that was a great game for Gamecock fans and one that really just kind of seemed to turn things a little bit in their favor. But I think, I don't know, it feels like that to me just because Carolina's offense – has gotten going as of late. The 2009 game was the beginning of the five-year streak.
That's right.
And started out, Beamer talked about this earlier as well, started out with the kickoff return for touchdown after an offsides call. Mm-hmm. Carolina re-kicked. Spiller takes it to the house. Touchdown. But then it was all South Carolina from there. And that's what started the five spot there for South Carolina. We shall see, though. We'll have complete coverage on Gamecock Central. I believe you are going to hear from me one more time. I've not heard from Kendall on when we're going to do it. But before the sandstorm, y'all hear from me one more time before the matchup. But appreciate y'all joining us again. Hope y'all had a great Thanksgiving. Hope you're out there shopping, buying everything you need. And we're going to have complete coverage throughout the day on Gamecock Central. We'll have complete post-game coverage on Sunday as well, GamecockCentral.com. He is Chris Clark. I'm Wes Mitchell. We're live at the Market on Main. We'll talk to you soon.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.